Faith is the victory. That's the title of my sermon today. And that's why we ended the singing with the song. Faith is the victory. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John 18, where we'll be getting in just a moment, but we're going to start in 1 John chapter 5. So turn to John 18, keep your finger there, and then open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. And if you would, let us stand together, 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begotteth loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this verse, and Lord, thank you for the faith that we have. Thank you for Jesus Christ and all that he has done on our behalf. Lord, we pray that the Spirit would move this day and touch each of our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In August of 1971, wow, that seems like a long time ago. But in August of 1971, I began attending the Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington, Texas. We had chapel services four times a week. Student chapel was one day a week when seniors and juniors would get to preach. And the faculty and guest speakers three times a week. Dr. Earl K. Odom was president of the school, and he spoke at least once a week. In the early weeks of my freshman year, he gave a sermon entitled Consistency, Thou Art a Jewel. Dr. Odom preached that same sermon each of the 4 years I was a student. Consistency, Thou Art a Jewel. Consistency, according to Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, is showing steady conformity to character, profession, belief, or custom. Steady conformity. One whom can be counted on when needed. Last week's message, as we've been going through the book of John, had come following the Passover meal, the institution of the Lord's Supper, and final words of encouragement and instruction. And we saw Jesus taking his disciples over the brook Kedron to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he asked them to watch and to pray with him. He separated himself about a stone's throw to pray to the Heavenly Father, asking that the cup of suffering be removed, but if not, he was willing to do the will of the Father. Then we ask you in your mind's eye to see when he was done praying and he awoke the disciples, that Judas was coming with a band of men from the chief priests and the Pharisees to arrest Jesus. During the process, Peter takes a sword and swings and removes the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus. Then Jesus, in the presence of them all, healed the wounded man. What do we see here in Peter? One, though greatly outnumbered, he was willing to defend his friend, his leader, his savior. In fact, Peter had said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Matthew 26:33. Consistency. Thou art a jewel. John chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Who is this other disciple? John. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. We see that Peter and John had followed Jesus after his arrest. And we find that they had gone to the palace of the high priest. Peter is staying outside at this time, but John is allowed to go in and to see what is happening with Jesus. And at some point in time, he goes back to the door and gets Peter to be able to come in. And may I say this, I believe that Peter wished the rest of his life that he had never gone into that door. See, there are times that we make decisions that we regret later on. And this is the decision that Peter regretted, because we know that once he entered that door, that he is going to deny Jesus Christ three times. Consistency, thou art a jewel when you're doing that which is right. When put to the test, it would seem that Peter now is fearful of being counted as one of the Lord's followers when asked, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? Well, we're not talking some he-man, some man with a sword that asks the question. It's a damsel. It's a young woman standing there at the gate who has let him in. And he answers, I am not. Have you ever been afraid to stand up for the Lord? Probably at some time there was an opportunity to be a testimony or a witness for the cause of Christ, and we didn't take it. Could it be that he was afraid that he would be arrested for attacking the servant of the high priest? I don't know if that is why he said no. Or was it he remembered that Jesus had repeatedly said that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed? Matthew 16:21. Was he afraid for his own life? This one that had earlier taken out a sword and it swung to kill. Mark 8:31 says that he, that being Jesus, would suffer many things and be rejected and be killed. There are many today that are rejecting the message of the cross. There are many people who would like to tell you that they believe in heaven, but they then will say they do not believe that a loving God would send anybody to hell. Well, may I say this, a loving God made a way so we don't have to go to hell. He provided a way of salvation. He provided a Savior. And when someone goes to hell, it's because they have not chosen to follow the Savior. Jesus had warned Peter that he would deny him three times. But Peter never thought it would happen. Take heed, lest you fall. Did that statement made by Jesus come back to him? Let's read verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And if you would now to verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Peter once again responds with the thought, I am not one of his disciples. We could say, Peter, what are you thinking? Peter, what have you done? You've walked with this man for 3+ years. You've seen the miracles. You have fed of the fish and bread that he made. You were there when he walked on the water. You heard him speak, and now you say you're not one of his followers? But let's not be too hard on Peter, because many of us in this very room have denied the Lord. Let me give you an example. Do you believe that believers should thank the Lord for their food? I think so. So if you're going today over here to the Golden Corral, and I don't know if any of you are going to the Golden Corral today, but let's just use that as an example. If you go over to the Golden Corral and you get some of their roast beef, don't they have about the best roast beef around?
Chicken.
Excuse me?
Chicken.
And chicken. Yeah. Chicken's all right. They have some of the best roast beef around. Okay. You go for seconds on roast beef. Though I've seen some of you take lima beans or Brussels sprouts. I cannot believe you'd waste your money. You paid for the roast beef. Yes. But you get back to the table. Should you bow your head and pray and ask the Lord for giving the Lord thanks? Well, what if we don't? Oh, what if we don't bow our head and pray? What if we just get right into that roast beef? We deny the Lord, aren't we? You say, well, somebody might see. Praise God if someone might see. I like it when I'm in the restaurant and I see somebody bow their head and pray. In fact, I have gone over to their table afterwards and said to them, thank you for praying. Because I believe it's the right thing to do. And how often, though, we deny the Lord because we're embarrassed. We're embarrassed. Now, I must admit, when I was in high school, I could say the shortest prayers you ever heard. I mean, you know, you think to yourself, oh, boy. And you bow your head. Well, after a while, you just do it automatic. And then people are disappointed if you don't. See, I believe we need to be a testimony, a consistent testimony for the cause of Christ. We need to be a testimony for the Lord. How about when we know we should read the Bible every day? And nobody sees us if we do or we don't. But what if we don't read the Bible? Are we denying the Lord? Don't you think he deserves time every day? Every day. He deserves it. We deny him, though, if we don't read it. Okay, we know that we're asking you to give to missions today. What about every Sunday when we take an offering and we don't give? Are we denying the Lord? You know, it always gets quiet when I talk about television or money. But if we don't give to the Lord, aren't we telling him, Lord, we don't trust you? Didn't the Lord ask us to give of our income? Yes. But when we don't, we deny him. We say, well, I don't think you can really take care of us. You know what I have found in the 43+ years that my wife and I have been married? God takes care of you. He takes care of you. Can I give you a sad example of the Lord taking care of us? You say, well, Pastor Paul, what do you mean? One day when Don and I were still in college there in Texas, and I was hungry. You ever been hungry? How hungry have you been? All we had in the house was a can of peas. I have no idea why there was a can of peas in my house. I have no idea. I was so hungry, I asked Donna to fix the peas. Whoa, you say, Pastor Paul, that was sad. Oh, boy. I put mustard on them. That did not help. Nope, that did not help. You say, Pastor Paul, why? Well, you know, when you're a student in college and you're paying for school and you're paying for your house and you're doing all that, and we were earning, I think I was earning $100 a week. $100 a week. And we gave a tithe and we gave to missions and you do your everything else. And I remember this. I came across the budget not long ago. And the budget for food back in 1973, 74, whenever, it was $10 a week. $10 a week. That was our budget for food. And I had crossed it out and I said, this week, $5. $5. Can you imagine? $5. Of course, some of you could go back and say, $5. We lived on $3 a week. I don't care. But I remember the next day, the very next day, Johnny Smith said to us, hey, we want to take you out for dinner tonight. That was really good. You remember that? I remember that. You know what's funny? The next day, he said, we had so much fun last night, we're going to take you out to dinner again tonight. I thought, wow, this is marvelous. Thank you, Johnny. Johnny's father-in-law was so nervous when he walked his daughter down the aisle, he ran her into the pew. He had actually offered them, what, $5,000 to elope, and they wouldn't. Then he ran his daughter right into the pew, bringing her down the aisle. And then, on the third day, Johnny said, you know, for some reason, I think we ought to take you out again. Three nights in a row, he took us out for dinner. That's marvelous. You know, God has provided for us down through the years so much now that not only do we have food in our house and I never have to eat peas again, but he provides food for her dogs. Yes. Let me say this. This is not new with me. I heard my dad say this over and over again. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. And when we say, I'm not going to give, you're denying the Lord. You're saying, Lord, I trust you with my soul, but I won't trust you with my money. We find that he said a second time, I am not. Verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. Stop reading. I know some of you are speed readers, but don't get ahead of me. He had been told, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter, do you remember what Jesus said? Who had asked them these questions? A damsel? One warming himself by the fire? And now a servant? Simple folks. People he could have said yes to and then told them of the Lord. But no, he denied and lost the opportunity to be a testimony. Peter had denied again. Uh-oh. Notice what it says at the end of verse 27. And immediately, the cock crew. Immediately. Take your Bibles now to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We are going to read what I think are some of the saddest words in the New Testament. We're going to read some of the saddest words that we can find in the New Testament. Peter has denied the Lord for the third time. He has said, I am not one of his disciples. I don't believe that I can trust him to take care of me. I have said this before. There are worse things than death. And one of them is bringing grief to our Lord. One of them is bringing the thought that we were not willing to stand up for him. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. In all that is happening there at the palace, the coming and going of witnesses, the servants, the armed soldiers, the disciples, those who were there, of all that's going on, at the very time the cock crows a third time, there is a direct line between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus turns and looks at him. How many of you remember the look from your mother? And she would give you that look of total disappointment, and you wanted to go and hide under the chair. That look. Maybe there was a teacher that had that look, or a coach. There was the look. I wish sometimes I had that look, that when I looked at you, you would tremble. But when I try to give you the look, you just laugh. I don't have the look. What do you think that look said when Jesus looked over at Peter? Do you think he was angry? I don't think he was angry. Was he disappointed? I think he was disappointed. He looked. It says here, and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the Lord is going to wipe away our tears. I don't think he's going to wipe away the tears of joy, because there's going to be joy in heaven. But I think there's going to be the tears of disappointment on our half that we didn't do more. Consistency. Thou art a jewel. I believe we need to be faithful. And I praise God for those that are faithful to the work of the Lord and to the spreading of his word. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, giving you an opportunity to come and pray at the altar if you'd like to, or even to pray there. And then at the end of the invitation, we're going to have you sit down, and we're going to have you sign your commitment papers for the giving to missions. And the reason that we have faith promise, and the reason that we ask you to commit the paper and to sign it, is so that we can budget our mission giving, so that we have an idea as to how much we can give and how much we can do for the cause of Christ. And so we'll be doing that in just a moment. But if you would, let's stand together. And during our song of invitation, we'll sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." I believe that we should want the Lord to have his way, and to have his way in each of our lives. The Lord has not called all of us to be missionaries in foreign lands, but he has asked all of us to be testimonies for the cause of Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless this invitation time, asking that the Spirit would touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.